Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, Rotatoes. It's me, Jasper William Cartwright. I'm back as your future DM. I say future DM because I take over DMing this show from Arc8. And if you haven't listened to that, because maybe you're not on the Patreon, because you could listen to that right now if you wanted to, if you so wished to. We have two full arcs of me DMing on the Patreon right now, and we're currently releasing one with Zach back in the helm, DMing for some of the incredible talents from the improv comedy group known as Big Grande. They are absolutely incredible. The first episode made me laugh so hard I thought I was actually going to wet myself. I didn't. I want to make that very clear. Don't dare at me saying that I did that, because I didn't. Okay? Anyway, we are here to get on with Arc 5, the incredible Awakened Wolves arc. I'm so excited to be sharing this with you all. It's such a beautiful arc, and the storytelling from all four at the table was just beautiful, and I'm so gutted that I wasn't a part of it, but I'm so amazed and happy that I get to listen to it all over again with you guys through this releasing on the public feed. So, without any further ado, why don't we go ahead and get back into the adventures of our three wolves. This is episode 2, part 1. Take it away, past Zach.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast. We are here in Arc 5, Episode 2. I am Zach Oyama. I am the DM and host of the podcast, and I am joined, as always, so far for the second time by the Rotators of the 5th Arc. Going around the table, we have, I don't want to say the toughest guy around, but it certainly has tough in his name. We have... and again, the best intro anyone's ever received. Tuffy ever. The Wolf, aka Matt Cordova. A little remix.
You know it.
Beautiful. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm nervous.
Yeah. Or it's getting real.
I really want to just speed through these intros and get into it.
Okay. Well, I think
I'll cut the shit.
The next wolf I will introduce is, of course, the former alpha, the old grizzled warrior Harland. Is he rolling? I guess we have to speed through this.
Yep. Hi. Hello. Okay. Moving on.
Oh. Okay. Thank you for another little remix. Well, I mean, I hope you're well. But let's.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
So much. We have to move on.
Finally, and then again, speeding rapidly around the third base, heading home, we have the wolf that comes from a bit of an inquisitive place, maybe a little naturally intelligent. We have Gray, aka Brennan Leopold. Wow. No remix
every
needed.
Time. Oh,
gorgeous. A gorgeous,
just
haunting
really
song.
Going for it, always.
Well, we're here for the second episode of the 5th arc. These wolves, just as a little bit of a recap, last time our wolves set out on a hunt, trying to track down some food for their much larger pack, this sort of B team along with their wolf friend Miko. Immediately, Harland caught a deer and basically ended the chase instantly, but there was another deer nearby, and they all used their wolf prowess to corner and trap this last deer, but at the same time they heard a bit of an explosion or some kind of weird noise in the distance. As they finally caught this second deer, Tuffy reluctantly going in for the kill, they found the aftermath of what seemed to have been some kind of attack on these two-legged creatures there. This band of elves seemingly was betrayed by someone in their party, and after some searching, Harland eventually found a dying druid protecting a sweet little half-elf baby. The druid was in a bad place and did not have anywhere else to turn to. I reached out to these three, speaking with animals, and implored for them to help the child get to safety. When they accepted, he cast Awaken on them, changing their minds drastically forever, starting this bizarre journey of wolves taking an elf to safety. Upon doing that, he was struck down by Osgar, the elf ranger, who seemingly was trying to finish the job and take the baby to cash out. After Osgar approached, the wolves instinctively protected the young child, and in doing so, made an enemy out of Osgar. As things were ramping up, howls in the distance alerted them to the rest of their pack coming to save the day. As this happened, Osgar and his dog Tupelo, his blink dog Tupelo, vanished with a puff of smoke, leaving our heroes surrounded by the rest of their pack, looking at them inquisitively as if they understand something has changed with our players here. So, bringing us back to now, Roan and the rest of the pack, it's about 25 other wolves. This is a rather large pack of wolves. Roan is like also this like black wolf who stands really tall, and like he's really smart for wolves. Like, he is a leader for a reason. Like, he's also like the best of the best in terms of like physical stature, but like he is fiercely intelligent as well. And as these other wolves are like just trying to figure out what's going on with these bodies and the two deer that you have already caught, chasing after like where maybe Osgar went with Tupelo, there's a lot of commotion, but he is focused on you all. And he looks to you and says, in sort of the wolf speech, like, good job with those deer. Is everything okay?
We have a lot to explain, Ron.
He looks at you, again, trying to figure out what's going on here.
Gray is going to do her best to be invisible, but is going to just sort of circle in that lower, like, tail down, head down, low status, but is going to just move so that her body, she's standing over the basket. Just some feeling of paranoia or caution. She's just like standing in front of the basket in such a way that there's no space for any other wolf to come and investigate it.
I will just roll. Yeah, he doesn't really notice, but he noticed the vibe of you three. And Miko kind of like standing in the background, also like quietly like looking at the ground, like clearly just like having been paying less attention, like still rapidly increasing their intelligence, like just like not understanding what to do in this moment. You see Roan look back at the rest of the wolves. Some of them are starting to notice that something's off here, and they're kind of like floating in the distance. And Roan looks at you all and looks at the rest of the wolves, and he growls at the other wolves, and they like kind of shrink back, low status, get out of there. And he looks to you and he says, please tell me what has happened here.
Well, I think that Tuffy, for the first time, feels a little bit more on equal footing for some reason with Roan. Something he's never felt before. But I think through the kind of emboldenedness that he has gained from leading Gray in their hunt, and then coming back, I would kind of equate it to like coming back after college and realizing you might be able to beat your dad up. And you didn't realize that change happened. And it's not like you're going to try, mm-hmm. but there's an inkling in your brain that maybe there is some growth that's happening. And so I feel like I'm going to confidently try to explain what just happened, not really thinking that somebody would question it. So I kind of boldly attempt to start a dialogue with Roan about what's happened, and
Roan listens and looks at you, sees like a weird newfound confidence, and again is like trying to parse what is happening. Speak.
Roan, I don't know how to explain what happened. You know me, I'm not somebody that is good with words. I don't have a lot of experiences, but We just came across multiple things that none of us have ever seen before. And I don't know what's happening inside my own brain, but...
It's like sniffing you.
I think you can tell there's something different.
Yes. I think for lack of a better word, like maybe you don't have this word in your culture, but he smells and he's like, is it elf magic? He sees like the staff that you're holding in your teeth.
I mean, I think, yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Like I said, I don't really know what I ran into.
He looks at you, Harlan.
Like, what, Harlan?
He like looks at you with this sort of reverence and deference of like you, like he inherited your throne as the leader of this pack. Mm-hmm. And he looks at you and he's like,
you were all different. Look,
he's going to make a perception check. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. He's like a little distracted.
He's like, just, you can trust me.
Harland is a very confident wolf, all things considered, but I feel like he sort of has a relationship with Gray in that he's like, I know she knows things in a different way than I do. Like our proficiencies are very different. And so Harland is just sort of overwhelmed with all of the things that there is to consider. And looks at Gray and, you know, sort of befuddled, looks back at Roan and is like, we may need to leave.
He looks at you confused.
I'm just going to lean. Gray leans her head into Harlan's fur and nuzzles him because she's... I think too scared to like speak in front of the whole pack like this, especially to Roan, and is just very afraid, suddenly possessed with like a tremendous fear of someone attacking the infant, which in a different moment, if she hadn't just been attacked by this ranger, I think she would know that that would never happen. But there's just a part of her that's just like,
yeah,
it's just her life is just about being afraid for this baby right now. And she nuzzles Harland because she saw that look back to her, because she could never say it directly to Roan in front of everybody, but knows that Harland just said the right thing.
Roan looks at you three, and again there's like a little bit of a commotion behind you as these the rest of the wolves are like exploring this like disaster area, and he like steps to the side away from them. It seems like he wants to be able to talk to you away from the rest of the wolves, and he kind of like growls at anyone nearby to like kind of get away to make a little space for this.
Can I notice this, and you know, with all the reverence I have for Roan, I wonder if he has had any previous experience. I mean, just by the fact that he mentioned elf magic, Tuffy goes to ask Roan, his idol, for the first time, if he's had any experience with elves, magic, humans, disappearing dogs. You know, none of this has ever been mentioned in the pack before of any kind. And yet, when we showed up, we expected Roan to be furious with us.
Yeah.
And he isn't. I want to know why.
As you bring up all of this stuff to Roan, he looks at you and he's like, it's not as surprising as you would think to him. Right. Like he maybe aspects of that, like he's never seen a blinking dog before. Like he hasn't seen all magic. He's seen, he realized to you that, you know, when I was young, I was separated from the pack, and a druid once spoke to me in my mind, and I haven't seen it since, but I know of it. You have all changed completely. I can see it in your eyes. And he like looks to you, sees me go staring from out behind a tree, he's gonna make another perception check. Okay. He's like sniffing around. He sniffs over to you, Gray. He's like, show me.
And Gray gets protective for a second. like just wants something from Roan.
Roan takes a step back and he just says, just show me.
I calm myself and I nuzzle down and grab a corner of the blanket with my tooth and pull the swaddling away from the little infant.
Roan, very still, looks at it and then just kind of hops in a, like, kind of like how Harlan was, like, too excited to do anything earlier. Like, does, like, a, like, oh, God. Okay. Okay. Wow. Is that a pup?
It's an elf pup. The druid that changed us gave this to us. The druid was an elf, but also a wolf.
A wolf, but an elf. An elf, yeah. But a wolf.
Could it possibly have been the one that you spoke to?
He looks over, sniffs around.
He's like, I do not think that's the same one. But this was many years ago.
What did he say to you? What did yours say to you?
Stay still and I will help you.
The elf that spoke to us said many things and then gave us clear minds to see what we must do. It matters to the whole forest, to our pack and every pack, I think.
And now we've been attacked.
Yes. Roan, it's like his wolf mind is racing because he's thinking, you can see that he's looking back at the bulk of where the pack is. He's looking at you. He's looking at the elf pup. He's trying to figure it out. And he looks at you and he's like, I don't think I understand everything, but I don't think I ever will. I think... He looks at you again, trying to parse this very complex situation, and says,
well, my duty is to the pack, and you are part of the pack, but I fear that we cannot take care of an elf pup.
Whatever disappeared, I fear may come back, and I don't want to leave the pack. I don't want to stray, but we may pose a threat.
He nods and thinks about it for a second. He's like, I don't want any harm to come to anyone in the pack.
But I think that for many reasons it would be complicated if you stayed here. And I wonder, I don't think I could even guarantee the safety of the pup among the others. And for what your reasons you say, I think it might make sense for you to start your own pack.
And he looks kind of sad at this idea, but you can tell that this alpha wolf, you know, understands leadership in a way that is maybe not, like, fearful, of course, of telling someone like this situation, but like there's a level of understanding here. Mm-hmm. And like, though you are different, he sees that not as a bad thing.
Gray looks over to Harlan and Tuffy and Miko, I think ready to give comfort, because I think she knew the moment, like, we were running from that ranger, but I think the moment that green light went off, Gray knew that was the end of her life.
Mm.
That was the end of that version of her life.
I think that Tuffy's kind of realizing that in the moment. It didn't happen to him. And now he's just been told by his idol that he's no longer going to get to be around him or under his wing. And I think that is very scary. Maybe Tuffy isn't super excited, right, to leave. I think that he's not at peace with the fact that the life that he had is now different and questions it.
Ron looks to you and sort of sniffs at you, kind of like nuzzles you and says,
you will make a good leader one day. And Harlan can show you how.
And it looks to you and says, looks to Gray and again says,
take care of the pup.
I will.
We have to follow the migration of the deer. But no one here will harm you.
And he kind of like looks back at you three and Miko. Kind of looks at Miko like, what is Miko doing? and then kind of
anything to say, Miko?
Miko looks up and says, what are we talking about?
This wolf is now many times smarter than Roan, but there's just no accounting for taste. There's just no, like, you can't get around a personality like that.
Did I miss something? I was looking at a tree.
You haven't missed anything.
Okay.
Buddy.
What are we doing? Roan looks back at you four, nods, and makes his way strongly through the pack and off in the other direction.
Harland definitely takes a moment to look at the pack. He's old and he's been with this pack for decades, I think.
Well, and wolf years, decades, but wolves live for about 9 to 12 years.
Decade.
For decade. And lingers a bit on a lady wolf who was his lady a while back. And then he just turns around and can't take it. Looks at Tuffy as he's turned ready to go and goes,
regardless of what Roan said, you're our pack leader. You are now.
Before Harlan said that, Tuffy was wondering why was Harlan staring at his mother for so long, intently, and was brought back to life by the sheer reality of his new situation, and kind of forgot about that, but then said, if this is what you guys need, then I'll try my best.
Or, you know, it could be Gray, actually.
Gray, for the first time, does a thing that wolves don't do and looks sort of shocked as she does. As Harlan says that, she goes,
a couple of wolves go and just like look back like.
Gray looks at you and says, that was funny.
Wow. Gray, I haven't heard this kind of talk out of you ever. I mean,
perhaps. This is... How about this? Miko's the leader.
Okay.
I'm the leader. Miko.
Follow me.
Oh, don't do that, Miko.
Gray, I'm going to look over it.
No, but seriously, I think it could be you. It could be Tuffy. It could be you.
You see, Gray looks over and says, I think Harland, you're right. It should be Tuffy.
I just don't want to assume it's Tuffy, you know?
Roan comes back, sprints back and says, let me be clear. I think anyone can do this. It's definitely, we live in sort of a weird world that is very gendered. But I think like whoever wants to has the potential to do it. I got to go buy it.
All
tearfully
back,
just looks back one more time.
Yeah. I'm going to look over and just say, like,
I just want the girl to be taking care of the baby and then us not consider her that pack leader. Okay. You know what I'm talking about.
Roan shouts from very far away, yes. Yes.
Got it. We're all on the same page here. Got it. I'm going to look over the two of you and say, this is a new path for us. I don't think we'll be hunting deer. I don't know what a leader would do here. I think perhaps in the time to come, there will be moments in which all of us need to lead. And I think that the gift that the elf gave to us is that we will be able to know when it is our moment to lead. We will not need the structure of the pack.
I'm super comfortable with that. I'm so glad you said it like that. You know, I'll do it right now if we need somebody. You know, if somebody comes and checks, I'll be the leader. But I, as the leader's first point of interest, I will let you know that I'm also going to help out with the childcare. Okay.
And I'll be the leader whenever we need it. I think.
Do you know what's going on, Miko?
Not really. Mm. I feel different in my. I think I see more trees than I did. More about them. Does that make any sense? They're more complicated than I first thought. I used to just pee on them, and now it's like, what's all this?
Right. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. So I'm the leader? What are we doing?
I'm going to speak up and say, I think my first act as leader I will say that, Tuffy, you should lead this next portion because you smelled a second path, yes?
That's true.
Another path leading away from where all of the two legs died.
And I remember finding that and looking to you and knowing that it was important, but not quite knowing what to do.
I can help try to track that down. If you can help me with what you smelled there at first, we can work on that together. And Harland, would you want to carry the baby?
He slips the handle of the basket around his neck.
Oh, like a Saint Bernard.
Beethoven style.
I'm going to go with Tuffy. So I have proficiency in survival. And if you want to give me the help action, I can roll that with advantage.
Cool. Let's do that. If you want to give him the help, Gray the help action.
Go for hell yeah.
And this is to just sort of find those other tracks.
Yeah, I'm following Tuffy to the head of that trail where something else moved
cool.
away.
Yeah, yeah. And also roll an insight check, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Everybody?
Yeah, everyone can.
13.
4.
9.
It's definitely worth checking out, but I think on the 13 you would remember that when Oscar showed up, he was tying up a loose end with...
I think that track is Osgar's track leaving the thing? Running,
it was a guardian. I think you think it was a different survivor who he had to kill in a different direction.
Gotcha.
And that's why he wasn't there immediately.
So I'm going to look to Tuffy and Harlan and say, and again, this is all brand new. Like, I think Gray is realizing that, like, she has always had memories and has always had the ability to refer back to those memories and to learn things, like learn mm-hmm. certain howls and stuff. But I don't think she's had the ability before to consciously walk through her own memories.
Mm.
Like, she can always access them. They come up, but she hasn't known to, like, okay, I want to consciously choose to go and revisit a memory. Like, that's new. And so she's like, there's a, after the green light, immediately after, when the dead fur man came, he spoke. He used the howls. He used the two-leg howls to explain. He said some nonsense words, come to tie up loose ends.
Tie up loose ends.
He meant something out of way. Prey of his, I think. And I think this track will lead to a two-leg that will remember what happened here. If we find them, perhaps we will find how to get to... Do I remember the term Fort Cutler, that's where the druid asked us?
Yeah, you would remember that the druid said that Fort Cutler was to the east. And it does seem like they were on a trail of sorts.
Would I, on that insight check, or if I should roll something else, would Gray have an understanding of if it's better to follow this survivor or for us just to head east towards Fort Cutler?
Well,
did they come from Fort Cutler?
They were going to Fort Cutler. Okay. I think per what you learn from the druid, it sounded like the druid was maybe saying that a place of safety for the baby would be Fort Cutler, that there is a follower of Zothine there, the druidic, the sort of the god of the forest, mm-hmm. the goddess of the forest that he was referencing that when he awakened you. Mm-hmm. I think you would think that is maybe the way to go on a 13. I also think that you can go this way. It does maybe seem like this is where Osgar came from, if that
gotcha,
makes any sense.
Gotcha.
But yes, definitely so explore what you want to.
Yeah, so we should ignore this other path and go east.
It seems a little like he killed someone over here and came back.
Gotcha, cool. Yeah. Okay, so in that case, I don't think we actually need that. Maybe that would be a survival check or something else, but I'm actually going to look at you and go east. Sun comes up. What time of day is it right now?
I want to say it's like around 1 p.m.
Okay. I'm going to look down at the forest. Is there any kind of sunlight coming through the trees?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Or maybe I think it could be like a little earlier, probably like 11.
Okay. Yeah. I look up and sniff around and I go,
it's kind of a cloudy day, but sun is
coming through. So yeah, I'm going to look at the two of you. And I think Gray is little smile comes to her face as she's like, because she now she has more of the things she already had that made her weird, and she's kind of liking it. And I'm going to look at you two and say, okay, we take the pup and we go away from our shadows until they are just underneath us. And then we walk in the direction of our shadows until it is night.
What are shadows?
I'm going to stifle a smirk, and I go, the wolf that has always kept you company on the ground in bright day. And she gestures to your shadow on the ground.
Inside you, there are two wolves, yes.
Who are you talking about? Tommy. My Tommy?
You're Tommy. Yes, absolutely. You're Tommy. That's okay. You're right.
Shadows are your Tommy.
Tommy and Tuffy, yes.
Well, that sounds like a great plan. I feel confident in this plan. And I do remember, didn't he say that it is maybe a day or two's journey?
Mm-hmm.
So I promise I'll do my best to lead us until nightfall.
That's good.
Cool. So you all take off away from your shadows and then following your shadows, was that?
Because it's morning, I said, yes. Away from our shadows until they are underneath us and then towards our shadows.
Towards the shadows, yes.
We make our own sundial.
Mm-hmm.
You are your own sundial.
Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window.
Under this musical montage, you all hop into a convertible and head up.
Feel the rain on your fur.
Something in the distance.
Feel the rain on your fur.
No one else can find your Tommy.
As you all head out, why don't we make...
Only you can save the baby.
Who's carrying the baby?
Harlan.
Why don't we make some survival checks as you head out, covering sort of a longer distance over a little bit.
Ooh.
Bad.
That's an 8.
I got a 9.
This is survival?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Yeah, it's like definitely, you guys, everything about being in a forest is your mind has changed so much that like you have this like weird level of awareness to it that like things that would kind of come to you more instinctively, you're now like thinking about the process of what you're doing more so. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're just really in your head about this journey.
This is
forward.
Like mid 201. You're actually learning what you're supposed to do.
So
ever since you mentioned my Tommy, I've noticed that everything's got a Tommy now. I can't stop staring at these Tommies.
There's Tommies everywhere in this forest. There's trees everywhere. They got Tommies.
They got Tommies.
You know what I can't get over? You know?
Yeah. Miko's like, exactly. Exactly. Where did everyone else go? Because they all went that way, and there's less of us over here.
Left behind.
Were you not paying attention when we all were kicked out of
the pack? Again, the trees. There's more of them to understand now, is what I was feeling. And everyone said I was the dumbest one, but now I still, you know, in a different way, I feel like the dumbest one. So yeah, it's and then to the additional factor of you're holding a baby in a basket, mm-hmm. and like having to be that much more careful.
Does it like wake up?
You notice that it's like getting a little fussy. Yeah, make it like an investigation or perception check. You guys can all do this as it's like kind of looking kind of fussier.
14.
23.
Oh my
Ooh,
god.
2. No, so, you got a nat 20.
Oh, I don't do plus?
Well, it's an instant success.
Oh. Nat 20 is like
the best critical, possible role. Critical success.
Success. So yeah, Tuffy, you see like the baby's like kind of like
the
waking
babysitter.
I told you.
Your cousin instincts kick in as
Harlan
you see this
puts
like
the basket down and walks away.
You're like, maybe it's hungry or something, and you like sniff around.
You look into the basket that the baby is like swaddled in, and off to the side of it, there's this little container, and it looks like almost like when a baby in our life has a little container of Cheerios, mm-hmm. but it's like kind of like little like balls of Limbus bread kind of stuff. So it's like just like a little, there's some kind of food in there.
You guys, the baby came packed. I was thinking maybe we needed to find some food, but there's something in the basket. I think that we could feed. We got to feed this baby, right? Are you guys hungry? The baby's got to be hungry.
I have no idea what I am.
You need to go down by the river. Take a dip in the river.
Okay.
Let's just take a break. Let's feed this baby. I remember when I would, you know, be watching all my cousins, the whole cub corral, and I would just have to go get berries and stuff, and I would use my nose, and I would rub one of their cheeks, and if they turned towards the cheek that I was rubbing their nose, it meant that they were hungry.
I'm going to nudge the little basket of stuff or little special stuff with my nose and see if it does something. I mean, like, it's the difference between, like, you know, a closed lid and magic is all kind of pretty blurry for yes. Gray, I feel like.
Sure.
So it's like, I'm going to nudge this and see if some kind of spell happens.
I think Harland is going to try and just go kill a bird, just like blow off some steam, sure. Get a snack.
Yeah, Harland runs off to try to find some other, like, real food for you. You nudge it. I think it's like, it has like a little, it's not as like baby locked as like our world. There's like a little open hole. So you like hit it with your nose and a few of those little things fall out. And the baby looks up at you. Kind of like, okay, like it has this like kind of perturbed look of like, I was napping, what is this? And like kind of feels its hand out and kind of grabs one and just like palms it into its mouth and chews it up.
Did you see that?
And then reaches out to your nose and just kind of, when a toddler mm-hmm. pets, like they don't know how to pet yet, mm-hmm. just sort of like hits you in the head a little bit.
I'm gonna lower my nose to make it easier to pat my head.
It like understands that it can go all the way down your nose, just like kind of sees the direction of it, follows the path of it, and smiles.
The pup is perfect.
Oh my God,
the pup is perfect.
Look at the hair on my back. This is incredible.
Standing straight up.
Thank you for finding the seeing little elf secret. This little bag of
Harland, make a little survival check.
8.
Yeah, Harlan's got sort of a dead crow in his mouth. Maybe it was already.
Harland, the pup is eating. The pup is eating these terrible little. I don't know what they are, but it doesn't smell like fruit or anything. It doesn't really smell like anything.
It's like a crackling rock, like a little, like a brittle rock, like clay,
dead, some
like
sort kind of dead, clay? Dried mushroom, like if a mushroom had dried up in the sun.
Ew, gross.
Harlan just licks the baby.
The baby like smiles as you lick its face, like, and then it's like, like,
is it happy?
Dead crow in your mouth.
Is it happy?
I think so. It's not fuzzing as much.
Let's go. Good job. Thank you.
You guys keep heading out. It's slow going, and as you like go, the sky gets a little darker as you keep going this way. Not because it's later in the day, because clouds are appearing. Speaking of rivers, Tuffy, as you said before, you get to a point, a natural stopping point, where you feel you at first hear the flow of this river. You know this area. You've tracked deer throughout this, often throughout your life. This is a river you're familiar with that, like, isn't that long. Like, maybe if you were by yourself, you would just kind of take a leap or something and, like, kind of, like, bounce up and down through the water and, you know, get across, like, if you were just of your own strength trying to get across. Here with this baby, you're looking out, and it's, like, a pretty strong current. The river's like probably about 40 feet wide, and there is just one log crossing it that is sort of like barely skidding out over the water, that has like sort of just like wet
It doesn't seem like fully out of the water. So like there is a point in which you can cross, but there are maybe other options as well. But you're here, and I think you do notice like this baby has no fur, and it feels very soft.
Mm-hmm. It can't walk like pups.
No, it's very soft.
It can't swim. It can't move without us.
Maybe we should put the baby in the water and see. Probably. I bet the river goes to Four Color.
Miko, is that a crow feather in your tooth?
I ate the dead bird. It had been dead for a while. And it don't feel good.
Miko's going to make a constitution save. Do he just spits it up.
Do we want to search for a minute, perhaps up and down the river just for a moment, and someone can stay here with the pup? And see if there's an easier place to cross, or a place where a log crossing is not as slick with moss or damp.
Yeah. Did you say two people leave? Two wolves?
I think so. And then two more stay with the babe. I can go search and see if there's anything nearby, a better place to cross.
I'll stay.
Thank you, Harlan.
I can stay. I don't care.
I was going to just say you should stay.
Okay, good. My stomach hurts.
Tuffy, I'll go upriver and you go downriver.
Okay.
Don't go too far. We should, if we can't find someplace soon, it's better for us to move because the horrible man is still following us.
Now, what are we looking for? Any type of crossing?
Somewhere safer than this, where the current is less strong or there are more stones or more logs to cross.
Make either nature or survival checks.
Cool, make a survival check. It's a 14.
8.
On an 8? You don't really see anything. Are you? You're on your side of the river. It feels like it's just like more open than any other part that you've seen so far. On a 14, there's an area that has like rocks popping up out of the water. They're like big flat stone rocks, but you think you'd have to jump from rock to rock.
Do I get a sense if that seems safer mm-hmm. than the log we saw?
I think you would think that it's a bit of a trade-off. They're probably similarly safe. The leaps might be like hard with the basket. But it seems like the log doesn't necessarily seem unsafe. It's just you'd have to go slow, kind of.
Gotcha. Okay. If I look around, how wide is the river?
It's like 40 feet. So 40. Each of these stones is like about, I'm going to say like 12
right.
across.
So it's like, yeah, it's just just swimming across would suck. It's like not that actually long of a distance. I think Gray's going to make the call to try their luck with the log instead. I think she's going to make one last attempt to see if there's a big long branch, or like the longest tree limb she can find somewhere.
Tuffy, are you holding that giant branch in your mouth still?
The staff?
The staff, yeah.
You have like a 6-foot long staff. There might, make a luck check to see if there's like a longer one. I'm not sure.
Sure. 14 on a luck check.
Yeah, there's probably like a, like, you know, 12-foot tall, bigger branch that's like, you know, tapers at the end. You know, like it's maybe not as like solidly built as like a 6-foot pole.
Yeah. I think Gray is just going to grab a big pole or stick that she can find and come back to the log with everybody. And basically, is that the log in the river, that's not big. And is that wide enough for two wolves to walk side by side or not really?
It doesn't seem that wide.
Okay.
Cool. But yeah, let's make a luck check just to see. Maybe
6.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't feel quite that wide. Cool. It felt like maybe like a taller, skinnier tree, and that's why it's actually crossing the entire length of the river.
Cool.
And if you were to look at it from the side, half of it's above water, maybe half of it's below water.
Yeah, like the water is still able to travel underneath it,
cool.
But then also sometimes like touch crests it. Over top, and that's why it's like kind of so slippery. Like it's like a turtle sitting log. If you've ever seen that.
Gray's going to come back with a stick just to have something. And she's going to look at Harlan and Tuffy and say, I didn't find anything upriver that seemed safer than the log to cross. looks again and again smiles this look of like being able to imagine things that might happen.
Yeah. I think like with this awakening, like it's definitely confusing and uncomfortable for a lot of the wolves, but like I'm sure it feels to me like Gray is embracing it more so than everyone else.
She loves, and I think that she has this, it's all these things where her whole life she knows she's been doing this thing of like, when you are tracking something through the snow, she always had this understanding that like a creature came through here. These were its prints. There are only so many places it could have gone. Mm-hmm. And it would go to the place that would make the most sense for it to go. And when it was running, it was afraid. And it made the choices that an afraid thing makes. And like, she never had the ability to articulate all of that, but is reveling in being able to figure that out now. So she looks over at Harland and goes, I'm going to hold this stick in my mouth because this stick can go through the loop of the basket like a wolf's neck if we fall in the water. Harland, when you cross with the baby, I'm going to look at the water. Favor the left-hand side. If you fall in, you should fall in on the water goes under side because the basket will hit the water and will not be swept away downstream because the log will be in the way.
And since there's three of us, do you think that it would be smart if one of us waits downstream just in case, and then we'll be the last person to cross once
yes.
everybody's across?
And one of us should wait upstream.
Mika looks up. We are all figuring it out. I'll go upstream.
You go upstream.
I think in a way that Gray is like discovering her own intelligence, Harland is like remembering his life. And these two youngsters like discovering things in front of him and his like shitty roles and stuff like that. He is being confronted with his inadequacies and is just like the coming to of intelligence is like, I am haunted by my story.
You just see
Harland so staring forward. Every new smart thing these kids say, he's just like, fantastic.
Just a like Vietnam vet of a wolf. So cool. So Harland is taking the babe?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Gray's going to look at Miko and say, Miko, cross first and go downriver on the other side as well, across from Tuffy.
Got it. So Mika's going to go across. The way this is going to work for Miko is that 40 feet is, mm-hmm. you know, you all have 40 feet of movement. It's going to be difficult terrain on the log,
mm-hmm.
But you can make a you can make a dexterity check with disadvantage to cross in one turn.
Cool.
Which is easier and safer for a wolf that's by themselves. Like if they fall in, they could just kind of swim out. But it's a little more complicated with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So Mika's going to try that. Just sprint across.
Cool.
Natural 20. Oh, with disadvantage. Sorry. Miko gets across mm-hmm. safely. You see, like kind of lose their balance, like slip somewhere halfway through the log, but gets all the way across. And then he's like, okay, sorry, I forgot the rest. Where am I going?
On the other side, stay across from Tuffy, because...
Just stand by that rocks, Tommy.
Stand by the rocks, Tommy,
got
over
it.
There.
And
if you see
over.
The basket going into the river, come and get it.
Okay, got it. Tommy's everywhere.
Tell me about it.
After that, Miko's in position. Who's going?
I'm going to keep the stick in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, should Gray go in front of Harland?
I think so. I think Gray's going to go in front of Harland. I would like to give the help action to Harland's dexterity.
Ooh.
And I think I look down.
Well, I think Harland's going to try and go slow. Like, Harland doesn't need to
does
go
that mean,
one turn.
But is that still a dexterity save without disadvantage? Or?
You won't do. I think you can go slow with advantage if you're helping.
Yes, amazing. Cool. So I'm going to go slow too. And I think Gray looks down at the thing. and he starts to use the stick to scrape some of the moss and slime off.
Oh.
This bitch.
Miko's like, wow, why? Why?
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Yeah, just starts to scrape off and see some of the, like, presumably still waterlogged, but like at least not slimy wood underneath.
You see that, as you're able to scrape it off, that kind of still supple kind of wood at least has like tread to it.
Yes.
And so it's not only is it not slippery, there is a place to like catch on it. So that effectively gives you advantage on these slower steps across.
Okay.
Yes, let's do that. So are you going halfway across? Or are you going all the way across having done this?
I'm going to do it thoroughly as we go across and make whatever checks you want me to make.
Okay.
So yeah.
So maybe just go halfway across.
I'll go halfway across and do that. Great. So this is just a straight without advantage or disadvantage?
For you, if you're only going halfway, it's just straight. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Dexterity check up here. That is only a 7.
Okay. Make a dexterity saving throw.
6.
Okay, you all watch as, though it's a good idea, Gray slips off to the current side of the water.
Gotcha.
Gray, you are tumbling about in the water. This is dangerous for a baby, not necessarily dangerous for you guys. So you are you have pushed further down the river. As you are watching this, are you just going to wait to hopefully have Gray come back? You know, it's like if you were playing in a river and you try to jump and grab something, you miss, and then you just could get out and get back in.
Gotcha.
So, like, this is okay for you to fall in the water.
Good. I'm glad that,
yes.
Like Gray's at the very least, like, glad that there is, it's this thing of the woods are so fucking dangerous, but it's like, okay, if we do this the right way, we can make it so that even when bad things happen, they're manageable.
Yeah, like who knew how scary it would be if you got in the water? Like, yeah, like who? Like there is like such an unknown factor with it. Like you now have like a little more information than you did. So, Gray, make just like a strength check to just like get back out of the water.
Cool. Oh, dirty 20.
Okay, yeah, you're able to effectively get back out, and I can say like maybe on the other side, or if that makes more sense for you.
Yeah.
Cool. So. Now that you're on the other side, you can pop back out to the middle to like continue your path.
Yes. Great. I'll come back out and keep scraping.
Okay.
And if I lost my stick, I'll just use my claws to be like, all right, and try to clear the way on the log as much as I can.
Cool. Just make another straight dexterity throw. Okay. You just like slip off into the water. You go a lot further down this time. Just make a luck check for me.
Nat 20.
Okay. Oh. You find your stick.
I found my stick!
Swims back up for it.
It's a good day for a dog.
I'm going to say on that one, maybe Gray has lost their chance to do that for that back half of it.
Yeah,
it
makes
sense. You could maybe direct another person to do it, but like you are, for whatever reason, been bested by this log.
I'm like, the log, I've done as much to the log as I think one can do. I think that's all. But at the very least, it means that if you go slowly, you'll have advantage on the first leg and can make the second one as a straight roll.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Am I going next?
Up to you guys.
Because he's in the water, right?
Yeah. He's further down. Mm-hmm. But you are next. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And I do advantage?
You do with advantage for the first half, but not for the second half.
That's dexterity.
Mm.
So 11?
Mm-hmm. 11 does it. It is not that
great.
Hard. Yes. Because y'all's stats are so low right now. That's actually what. So you are halfway across.
Okay. And then I do 1.
And now this is just straight?
13.
Harlan holds his breath, gets ready, and takes that run across to the other side, landing safely, like kind of sprinting off of it. You see this Tuffy, and you can make your way across if you'd like. But you are now the babe is safely across to the other side.
And I'm the only one on the other side left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. I with glee swim across.
Biting the water.
Yes.
Great. And you can do that. I think it's like, this was just like, yeah, first, you know something about the survival of your own species and this species. Like, we got this baby wet. It would have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, as you get to the other side, the skies continue to darken.
And you start to feel a faint...
We need to find shelter.
Shouldn't have jumped in the water.
You see that I'm going to look... How massive... Is this log massive or is it a little bit small?
It was like only one person can go across it, so it's actually kind of small.
I'm going to look at where it's lodged on our side. Can I... Because I'm worried about the man chasing us. Is there anything solid, like rocky, next to it on our side of the river? Is there, or you know, like a bowl? Is it lodged in like near a boulder or another tree or something like that?
Yeah, I think on this side, there's like logs kind of like falling around this area is not uncommon. I think like, give me a luck check and maybe we can.
Hell yeah. 14?
Yeah, I'm going to say like there is like a log kind of like teeing off of it on this side.
Hell yeah.
Maybe even like underneath it.
Yeah. So, I think Gray looks over at that, has the stick in her mouth, and looks over at you, looks over at Tuffy and Harland, and says, "If we got across this, the horrible man can get across it too." And I'm gonna jam my stick in the ground in between our log that we crossed and the log near it, and start to press my weight down and try to dislodge the log on our side of the river.
I love
it. Push it out into the water and get rid of it.
Okay. So is anyone helping Gray do this?
Yes.
Okay, so you two are pushing off of it. You can make a strength check with the advantage because you are being helped by Tuffy.
Cool.
Who's also, I guess, in practice pushing on it at the same time.
With athletics, that is a 10.
Cool. I think... you're able to like get it going with that. Miko's gonna come over. I think like let's all like Miko's like why don't we all do it? Like it just like hops on and just like
Harlan just has like the baby.
Yeah. It just looks fun. Yeah. Like to like hop on this log.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna do a triple advantage.
Great. Here we go. Here's number 3 coming in hot. Hey, that's a 15.
Great. On this one, Miko maybe doesn't know fully the extent of what we're doing here. Even though he's smarter than any wolf that's ever lived, hops on it with the weight of all three of you. Eventually, the log pops out of it and then just slowly begins to drift downstream.
Woo! Away.
Hell yeah.
Heading off the path. But with that, the rain begins to come down harder. Like, it was sprinkling, and now it's becoming just a straight-up rainfall as you see this this sky just starting to open up.
I kind of maybe express a little bit of concern about the baby and, you know, remembering that it doesn't have fur.
Mm-hmm.
Baby looks a little perturbed. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like uncomfortable.
Can I make a survival check to try
yeah.
to find
yeah. Everyone can make a survival check, and I'll make one for Mika.
14.
5.
On those twin 14s, heading along this side of the river, you come across sort of like a path, mm-hmm. sort of a dirt feeling path that eventually your paws start to hit like stone.
Mm.
It's like a hewn stone and it looks really old, but it is like, I mean, I don't know that you would know this is a wolf, but it feels like laid in the ground by something.
Gotcha.
And, shaped to a degree. And you start to see this path and eventually, along this path, you see that there is, among these sort of old feeling, kind of reminds you of like Thailand, like ruins in Thailand,
mm-hmm.
or old temples in Thailand. Like there are these rocks, very overgrown by like kind of like elephant looking tree trunks,
mm-hmm.
Almost like mangrove like roots over like a very old kind of a pyramid shaped temple. That you find some ruins in front of you. You first see a little bit of light flickering on the inside, and you hear a little shh, shut up.
What are these trees? I see what you mean, Miko. There are more trees than there were before.
Yeah, they're like, this one, I think, is a person.
You think?
Because of the, it looks like skin almost, instead of bark.
Are you sure? I thought that, I thought that Tommy's were talking. You think it's a person?
I mean, I don't know. I think that came from inside that, where that light is, but I, part of me thinks that these trees are people.
Gray is totally lost. As you're talking about Tommy's, she looks at you and says, Tommy's are connected to the sun. The sun went away, and now there's no Tommy's anymore. Look.
Where are they?
They can't be Tommy.
Look, there's no Tommy's.
Can I do a keen hearing check?
Yeah, so that's a check with advantage. And you can all do that if you want.
Sure.
Oh my God, there's something fucked up happening.
14.
I also got a 14.
With advantage, Dolly.
Nat 20.
Nat 20? You're in this area that's like, you don't fully understand what you're in, but it feels like some sort of ruined of a, like, everything, all the buildings here look really old and maybe not like kept up in any sort of way. All these trees have kind of grown over it. There is this little structure in the center. It doesn't quite look like made from the same culture of people that like that you were just with. Like, it doesn't seem like they would have made it. But you hear this like snickering laughter inside this little pyramid. And it feels like they were trying to be quiet and maybe like they're going to get caught is kind of the vibe of it.
Does it seem safe to go in?
As you say that, it begins to rain hard. It feels like you don't know if it's necessarily safe in there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I mean, I really got a real good nose full when we found the baby elf.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if what is snickering at us smells the same.
You smell it? It does not feel the same. In fact, it smells a little more like the times you've been around a cold-blooded creature. Dova's touching his head.
You guys, I'm not getting a good feeling about this. I don't know if I'm alone in this feeling, but this doesn't smell elf baby. Remember? That was the last time we saw something in the bushes. You went right up to it, Harlan. Remember, you just stuck your nose in? Thank God it was a nice thing, but I guess I'm asking you to do this again.
Here. And Harlan transfers the baby to Tuffy.
I'll look over at Harlan and say, I'll go with you.
We have to get the baby inside.
Cool. Miko's like, I will.
And
I don't know. What do you want me to do? It seemed like everybody knew.
Use your body to cover the baby.
Okay. Just kind of sits his wolf body over the front of the basket covering it, but like it's not working well. It's working for the time being. He's like,
do we feel, if we were to leave Miko with the baby, would we feel great about that decision?
No. Or
would
we...
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, like maybe you should talk to Miko beforehand, but I don't know that you would feel. It's not a babysitter that has the best recommendations.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. Hmm. So Harlan is going to stalk in.
Okay, quietly. So Harlan's stealthing in.
Yeah.
So you, Gray, is going to stealth in. Miko's got the baby, but it's also like, do you want to get the baby or do you want me to go in? Or?
Yep. Stop sitting on the basket, Miko. I'll watch the baby and you watch my back down where the trail got more comfortable to walk on. Go down there and make sure nobody's coming on our backside.
Okay. He turns around. He looks back that way. Thought I did a pretty good job covering the baby, but whatever.
You were just sitting on the basket. It would look more comfortable for you than anything.
You want to sit on the basket. I get it. He goes and checks out where you just came from. Yeah, you guys roll me some stealth checks.
Oh, it's going to be a 19.
Thank God. 22.
You silently are able to creep into this pyramid-like structure. It feels, yeah, kind of a mix between that sort of like a aesthetic of like a temple in Thailand or and it is sort of the shape of like a Central American older structure in that it's like kind of tiered pyramid feeling. Mm-hmm. As you go in, it seems like
there are carvings in the wall that look like almost elven, but not. This is the first time you are looking at pictures, probably, as you sneak into this place. It also looks, the ceilings are lower. It doesn't look like it's made for something the height of an elf. But as you go in, you continue to hear this snickering. You eventually hear like just like these like hushed tones of a conversation, this like flickering firelight. And you hear a guy go, I understand that kobolds and murlocs have been fighting for thousands of years, but does anybody remember why? And another voice is just like, shut the fuck up. Listen, I don't know why either, but we have to, I don't know. It's just what we do. It's just been thousands of years we've been raging in a war against murlocs. And, you know, that's important or whatever, but also, like, what we want is important. And so, like, sometimes you have to just, like, run away from a war. And obviously, like, the war is important, but also, like, we found this place has got some cool stuff. And what we found is ours. And that's important, too. So you're hearing this, like, this weird exchange as you come into this more central atrium area where you see the source of the fire, and you see five kobolds, these sort of little like dinky dragon-like creatures that are small, like, you know, humanoid creatures. They look a little, some of them look like injured, like they have bandages and stuff on, but they are surrounded by what looks like treasure. So you don't know if maybe it was here before you, but like they're sitting on just the shiniest, yellowest stuff you've ever seen. And they also are looking around a little paranoid, but they also, just something about this seems like they are excited with what they found, but not necessarily aware of your presence as you stealthed in.
I hope that you've enjoyed that episode of Rotating Heroes. This has been Arc 5 with Matt Cordova, Izzy Rowland, and Brennan Lee Mulligan, with Zach Oyama as your Dungeon Master. As always, please, if you've enjoyed this episode, take 2 seconds to drop us a review and help new Rotators find the show. And if you're enjoying it and want more Rotating Heroes in your life, then make sure you check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, which is patreon.com/rotatingheroespod, or just in the description below you right there. We also have a Discord. There's loads of other ways that you can get involved with the show, so make sure you go check out all those links. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope that you have a wonderful time.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.